I'm gonna jump in. No, it's not true. That's absolute crock of shit. You don't think that venture capital firms that have a mandate to put money to work are looking all across the entire country. The fact that you're in Philadelphia has zero bearing on your ability to raise capital.
Welcome to Philly Tech Connect Podcast, where Philly's tech minds meet. CEOs, developers, dreamers, this is your space. Each week, we explore the journeys of tech innovators. Join us and be inspired.
Hey, everyone. Dave here with another episode of the Philly Tech Connect podcast. Today, for the first time ever, we have two guests, two for the price of one, two people that I know and respect very highly. Josh is a serial founder, ex-COO of cybersecurity company Flashpoint. They were a global leader in threat intelligence. He has scaled from zero to 100 million, raised 80 million from top tier investors, and now lives in Philadelphia with his wife, two kids, and Golden Doodles. On the other hand, we have David. David has been in the Philly tech ecosystem for over 20 years. He's been a tech investment banker at Fairmount Partners. He is currently the managing partner at Palm Venture Studios, which is a group of investors and operators looking to invest in distressed tech-enabled startups across the U.S. They're backed by a family office deploying a $90 million fund. If you got the hint, we're going to be talking about raising money. It should be pretty clear from the bios. That's why we're here. I have yet to have some guests on that can talk about this topic because, frankly, it's hard to come by. How are you guys doing? Are you ready?
I'm ready. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah,
I'm ready too.
Yeah, I'm pretty ready.
Sounds good. Yeah, I'll take pretty ready. Raising money is, for those who haven't done it, which is the majority of us, myself included, can be a bit of a black box. We don't always understand. We think about the good side of raising money and having money that has been given to you to pursue your idea. But I know it always comes with strings and catches. So what are some things that people don't understand or expect about raising money?
And I'll jump in with one quick thing because I hear this a lot. It's like a little pet peeve of mine that you, Dave, actually just said, because you use the word somebody gives you money, right? And I just want to just jump right in. I will let Josh answer the actual question. I'm going to jump right in and say, nobody's giving anybody money, right? It is very much a quid pro quo. You're definitely giving up a lot to when you're getting given money, right? Like you're selling something, and what that something is, it's a lot. But I'll let Josh really.
That's a great call out. Yeah, no, you're 100% right on that. And I think our natural way of speaking is the way we've come to understand it, but it's misconception. So Josh, let's elaborate on that. What are the things that you give up when you are being given money?
Yeah, it's not necessarily that you're giving up equity in the company, right? And you're marrying someone that in a way that is, it's easier to get a divorce than to get rid of an investor and vice versa. So it's really about having a strong relationship and you're giving up autonomy, right? Suddenly you've got people who also have thoughts and feelings and desires. And a key piece of the fundraising process is, are those desires aligned? Because if they're not, and you're going in two different directions, then it can be really painful for everyone involved, even if the company ends up selling for more than you would have otherwise sold it by taking the investment. Because sometimes all these things fall in that maybe don't get you as much as you thought by just not taking any capital at all. And so some of the things that I think that I see are, especially like early stage founders who've never raised money before, and people just thinking about startups, I think there's this myth that I just show up with a cocktail napkin and like some graphs drawn on it. And I show up and I'm like, here's my idea. And someone's, oh my God, I got to give you $5 million to go do that idea. It's that, yes, that does happen in the same way that like Lana Turner can get discovered in like a drugstore by an agent who walks by and sees her in the window or whatever. Yes, those stories happen. But 99.9% of the time, it is very difficult to raise money. And the bar is much higher than I graduated from a great school and I'm smart and don't you like my idea? It's a long slog. So I just wanted to like, that to me is a thing that people don't understand. It's just, I have a great pitch deck. It's not about just like a great pitch deck or a great napkin that you drew things on.
Yeah. So I wonder if some of that misunderstanding comes about because maybe it used to be a little more like that, or it was a little looser raising money, and now it's gotten more difficult. David, you've obviously been in the space of venture capital for years now. Have you seen it evolve over time? And is it trending in a direction of just needing more traction, more validation? Like, where have things gone?
Yeah, there is a nuance here, right? A lot of what Josh and I are talking about or have talked about so far is around raising institutional capital, right? So bringing professional investors onto your cap table, typically onto your board, typically with a lot of control provisions baked into their investment. And so I'll answer your question about that piece first, but I'll also bring up a little bit of the friends and family and angel rounds as well. So to answer the question about just generally what's happening in the market, I think that the venture market, just like any other market, is very cyclical, right? But I do think in venture, the cyclicality, the swings up and the swings down tend to be pretty pretty wide, right? And in a bull venture market, for sure, valuations swing way up. Money, you can feel it viscerally that money is looser. And then when the money is tight, which I would argue that we're currently in one of those cycles, the money is very tight, right? And there's a whole bunch of reasons for why that cyclicality swings in a more extreme way than I think in other private markets and certainly versus the public markets as well. But we can talk about that at our happy hour conversation.
The panel that we have in June. Yeah, this is a great prelude for that.
Let me answer, Dave, sorry. I wanted to answer the other question about angels and friends and family, which I just want to say, I think that's a great channel for raising capital. And I'll also say, like, this part is definitely anecdotal, but like just through my own experience and anecdotally, you know, in 2021 and even early 22, you saw a lot of people, you know, just dabbling and investing in startups as individuals. And really, I don't see that happening much at all right now. And I think that's just because there's a bunch of reasons. One is just the venture market is cyclical and the individuals will follow that cycle. I think two, though, is that we're in an era of high interest rates, right? The stock market and the public markets are doing great. And the opportunity cost of putting your money to work into a startup, especially in a market where we know that venture capital funds are funding at a much lower rate. I don't know the exact stats, but like, you know, the opportunity cost of putting your money to work as an individual into a startup, it's just much greater now than it was even a couple of years ago.
Yeah, zero interest rates really created that huge like glut in funding. And lots of folks were like, I'm getting 0% in my savings account. I should just start angel investing and chasing every AI deal because it's so hot. That created a huge bubble that stopped with the interest rates coming up. And I think now, just like Dave said, there's fundraising cycles where it's really founder friendly, where it's like, oh my God, I walk into a room and everyone's got their checkbook out because they're hunting for the next thing. Because to Dave's point, they don't have another great place to put their money right now. Or it's, man, this is really hard. Only the companies that have really incredible, strong traction are getting money easily. And for everyone else, it's a battle and a long game. And it's the same thing for VCs too. Like raising money these days for VCs and VC firms is hard. And so that's another reason that they're going to hold their pocketbooks a little bit closer because they've got to make really strong bets to meet the returns for their investors. And especially after this last fundraising cycle in like 2021, when valuations were sky high, there's a lot of VCs, I think, nail biting on, are all these unicorns that we minted actually unicorns? And so there's a lot of, I think, wait and see of what is our portfolio going to look like in the next couple of years before we start even deploying more capital.
Yeah, Josh actually texted me a new word yesterday, the unicorpse, which is a dead unicorn. So
the unicorn that didn't make it. That's a good one.
And there's a lot of them. Right.
I like that. That's viral potential. Let's talk about Philadelphia. You guys have both been in the ecosystem for a while. You live here. I've been running a community organization for over a year now, and people make jokes, they talk that like Philadelphia companies don't really get funded. What is that true? Why?
I'm gonna jump in. No, it's not true. That's absolute crock of shit, right? You don't think that venture capital firms that have a mandate to put money to work are looking all across the entire country for great deals or what they perceive as great deals? Of course they are, right? And so the fact that you're in Philadelphia has zero bearing on your ability to raise capital. Now, is a lack of, or perhaps like, have there been fewer, are we basically, I guess the question is, are we punching below our weight in terms of raising venture capital? And I don't have the stats in front of me. I would, by gut feel and just frankly experience, yeah, we probably are punching below our weight, but that's not because our companies and our individuals are based in Philadelphia.
There's lots. I think a challenge is that like in Philly, a lot of these great funded companies stay under the radar, but we've got like DBT Labs, which is a unicorn. We've got Guru. We've got Crossbeam. We've got Common Paper. These are YC-backed companies that have strong valuations and Andreessen's invested. Like they're here, but I think they're doing what they should be doing, which is like building great businesses and keeping their heads down and going and do that. And I think the more of those that happen, then we start creating some virtuous cycles where we're starting to hear more about, oh, some people left this company that was really great and started another company. And then I think like the life sciences aspect of VC work, like on this tech side, like building software as a life sciences hub, Philly is also, you know, really strong. And so I think that sometimes overshadows a lot of the tech that is happening in the city. And then you have like companies that get their starts here and then migrate away, Venmo and Warby Parker and these other ones that get sucked into the New York ecosystem. So they're here and they'll start here, but you're just, if when you're comparing it to like San Francisco or New York, we're just not quite there yet. But I think to Dave's point, it's here. And I think we're punching below our weight class. But I think with communities like what we're in right now and like PTE, these are the things that we've got to start doing to start raising the profile and showing founders, hey, there's great engineers here to work with. There's strong talent pools here. There's great executives to recruit onto your team who have experience. And I think all those things will continue to help dispel the myth that like companies don't get funded in Philly, because they do.
Yeah. I'm glad that you bring up communities and Philly tech entrepreneurs. And as somebody, I've been running this for a year and I've also seen so many other communities. And, you know, it's great that there's some activity and people are doing happy hours and stuff like that. But I don't think that is probably going to in and of itself raise the waters here significantly, just people having drinks with each other. What are the other things that need to happen from the communities, the incubators, whatever development programs exist in Philly? What can we all be doing to help more Philadelphia companies succeed?
I think that's a great question. I do think, you know, more mentorship and education opportunities. People, frankly, like Josh, who have gone down this path, right? To the extent that a new entrepreneur's right path is to raise venture capital and build a large business, there are guys like Josh who have knowledge, but I guess I have that knowledge too, right? Like, we do need to do more to get out there and help people out. Just having done it many times, we can say one little thing, right? One bit of pattern matching can really help change the trajectory of a company. And I do think actually that getting folks together in the community is very helpful because those are the conversations that, like I said, you can make that help change that trajectory. You can also become an angel investor, right? Or an advisor and an advisor, right? I do think that like we have to start building more of that virtuous cycle and opportunities for that virtuous cycle to actually start. And look, I'm not saying that that doesn't happen now. It certainly does happen in pockets. You need to do more.
Yeah, no, well said, Dave. The number one thing that I think needs to happen is there needs to be some Uber level company that like exits from Philly, right? And that will create huge virtuous cycles. So short of that, right? Like how do we get there? How do we create the environment for something like the potential of that to occur? And I think, Dave, to your point also, I think having these drinks, it's just drinks, but it's these mashing of atoms that I think you get in ecosystems like San Francisco and now increasingly New York that do the number one thing that needs to happen at the early stages, which is like direct ideas to capital, talent, and customers, right? That's the hardest stuff. The hardest stuff is taking an idea and then knowing I need a technical co-founder or I needed a business person because I'm the technical co-founder. Who are the right VCs that I should be talking to? And how do I get a warm intro to the right VCs? Because it's very hard to do this on just cold reach outs. How do I get connected to the right design partners and customers? And these are the advantages that like someone starting a company in San Francisco has, which is I can walk into a coffee shop, be like, AI. And someone will be like, I'm an angel investor in AI and my brother-in-law works at Sequoia. And oh my God, you should meet this guy that I met who just graduated from engineering school, who was awesome at linear algebra. Those are the connections that we need to make so that we can create strong founding teams that then have the resources around them to find the paths forward. And can get, as Dave's saying, like the mentorship and guidance at the beginning. But what they really need at the beginning is money and customers, right? And so that's what these ecosystems that are thriving have really done a great job around. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was also going to say, like, look, the raw materials are here. And that's why, like, when you ask, I do think the reason why I say that we punch below our weight is that we have the talent, we have the capital. There are certainly customers here and something connecting, or maybe it's a collection of connectors. I think we need activity that can pull these things together, because it is one thing about Philly that is actually perhaps a, I don't know if it's like a drawback or like one of the things that like, it's a hurdle that we have to get over is one thing that I often think about. So I live on the main line, right? And there's a lot of capital here. And I don't just mean like wealthy individuals. There's a lot of capital management firms and wealth management firms and private market investors here. It doesn't often seem like there's a lot of overlap or frankly, communication between what I think is a burgeoning startup scene that mostly centers around Center City and a lot of the capital that's out here. Now, that being said, too, like there are some really cool startups out here on the main line, too. But I just think that the centers of gravity for capital and the centers of gravity for tech startups, they're just geographically in different places. And I think culturally in quite different places, too. And so connectors between the two, I think, could really help drive this ecosystem forward as well.
Great. Yeah, it's great to obviously hear that from you guys and appreciate you coming on and contributing to the mentoring and the guidance. This is my last and probably least favorite question because it implies that you should start a business because it's going to raise money or something. But I feel like I have to ask what's hot right now. What are you seeing out there in terms of where people want to deploy money or where they're excited about ideas? We know AI, but it's, I think, more about the application of it. As that's become probably the bar, the expectation. So what are you guys seeing out there right now?
Yeah. So obviously it's something I think about quite a bit. What we do in our model is we deploy rescue capital into companies that have gotten stuck, right? Startups that have gotten stuck, companies that have raised quite a bit of money in the past, built something, are currently in need of capital, in need of something to unlock their current situation. And so I come at it from a perspective of how do I take and work with an existing company and the clay that they've got and mold it into something that I don't think of it as like more fundable, but something that's more commercially viable, right? And so I actually think that if you have a company that has evidence of product market fit and high gross margins and something that like you can see down the road as being a repeatable sales process, like you will find funding, right? It doesn't need to be AI. It doesn't need to be, I don't know, healthcare IT or fintech, or even frankly, blockchain enabled anything, right? What you need is big market and those other things that I said earlier. And I think that if you can turn those things into a nice story, because the story has to wrap around the facts, but if you can have those two things, or all those things, or a handful of things all in one package, I still believe that there's plenty of capital out there for people who have those, or for companies that have those attributes.
Yeah, totally. I think there's always these hype cycles, right? And right now, yes, AI is hot, and even that is cooling off as, I can't remember the exact number, but I think something like 25,000 AI startups got funded or something for like the past 24 months, and they're not all going to succeed. And we get stuck on these hype cycles of what's on the front page of the magazine, and look at all these investors who are raising all this money, and they're doing AI, and so I need to do an AI thing. And yes, there are going to be, and to Dave's point, I think it's going to be the less savvy investors who are like, oh, it's AI, so I should just throw money at it. I think for the professional investors, it's the same, right? The fundamentals are the fundamentals, and it's what Dave got to. Like, don't chase a thing just because you saw it on the cover of Forbes. Like, it's the trite saying, right? Fall in love with the problem, not the solution. Like, AI, the internet, the World Wide Web, whatever you want to call it, they're all solutions to problems, right? So find a problem that you know better than anyone else. You lived it, you've researched it, and you feel like you can generate and create customer value there, and go prove that out. Start getting traction. And, you know, every VC has their thesis, but they're looking for scalable companies that can grow really fast and have certain, you know, margin profiles and all that stuff. So if you're building a software company that is focused on a problem that might be totally unsexy, I think there are VCs who like the unsexy. Like, there's, I personally love all of these middleware companies that no one's ever heard of that are like required to make AI, to do the fine tuning, to do all the things. Like, there's so many great companies where the CEOs are incredible, they're minting money, but they're never going to be on the cover of a magazine. So people don't think that there's all these other great successful companies out there. So I would say, in the words of Public Enemy, don't believe the hype and go build what you know and get the traction. And if you are truly delivering customer value and customers are saying yes, and you're getting customers and getting them to pay you, and you can, as Dave said, you can tell a great story around why you're doing what you're doing, how it's going to grow quickly, why it's going to be worth a lot, why you need the money, that's a great story to go tell. And AI could be a piece of it. It could be a lot of it. It could be, hey, it's going to be down the road, but as long as customers are paying, you're onto something. So that's my exclamation point on the stuff that Dave said very articulately.
Yeah, I'm down to end on the Public Enemy quote. I can't think of a better way to wrap things up. I appreciate you guys coming on the show, sharing your wisdom. Look forward to continuing the conversation with you in a couple weeks, month or so. For people that want to get in touch with you and learn more, Josh, where should they go?
Yeah, I'm in the Slack group. Hit me up on LinkedIn. You can just search me and add there. I've done a lot of working with other folks like in the community, just pitch me and give you my feedback, and have been trying to do my part in what we were talking about before of connecting. So I'm always happy to chat with folks who are building things, and even better if you're seeing traction. Yeah.
Yeah. You can find our website, Palm, P-A-L-M, Venture Studios, plural, .com. I was hoping for P16S. It actually is nearly 16 letters in between, but we went with the fully the long form name. And then if you want to email me, I'm at david@same URL.
Awesome. Thanks so much, guys.
No, thank you, Dave. Thanks for hosting and the great community that you've really been a keystone and a pillar to draw people around.
Yeah, dude, seconded. You are doing some really great work, and keep it up, because as you said, the Philadelphia ecosystem needs you. People like you.
That's all for today's episode of Philly Tech Connect. Join our community at phillytechentrepreneurs.com. Special thanks to our sponsor, shortlist.io, a digital marketing agency specializing in top-notch link building, content strategy, and web design. Stay innovative, Philly, and see you next time on Philly Tech Connect.
a Lifetime Value Media production.